Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you're rejoicing in this great season, the season of the resurrection, the Easter season. The church celebrates the greatest thing the world has ever seen, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and the beginning of the new humanity, the new creation born in the Son of God. And Jesus, who took on human flesh, became one of us so that he could die your death and my death. He could put away sin. He could put away the power of death. And he swallows up death in victory, St. Paul tells us. The life that was in Jesus is a life that's absolutely indestructible. It's the life of God himself. It's the eternal life of God united to human flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. And we celebrate what is really the only hope for the human race, Jesus Christ. And so what I'd like to do this week is take a look at some of the passages the church is giving us, like this past Sunday, the amazing story of St. Peter and St. John healing the lame beggar, and then what unfolds as a result of that sign and wonder being worked, that healing that's worked in the name of Jesus, and how Peter uses it to teach about who Jesus is. Just as in Jesus' life and ministry, the signs and wonders drew people's attention, and Jesus was able to proclaim who he was, and the signs confirmed the words that Jesus spoke. They go hand in hand, and Jesus told the apostles that greater signs than these, the signs that he worked, would accompany those who believe. And the apostles themselves, as they preached the gospel, they went forward with a kind of faith and confidence that the power of the Holy Spirit would work through them, just as Jesus promised, for the sake of the spread of the gospel. Not for the sake of the miracles for their own sake, but the miracles are given by God, occasional miracles to point to the central importance of the message that is being communicated and calling people to respond to that message and to surrender to it. So we'll take a look at that. But to begin with, I want to go back to Luke chapter 24, the resurrection appearance of Jesus to the apostles in Luke's account. Now, Luke's the author of that gospel, obviously, but he's also the author of the Acts of the Apostles. And we can see some key parallels between the way what he emphasized, what he taught us that Jesus said to the apostles, what he passed on to them, and how the apostles took it up. And the very thing Jesus said they would do is exactly what ended up happening in their lives. So here's the end of that account of Jesus appearing to the disciples. Chapter 24, verse 44. Then he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." We know so many passages from the Psalms, the prophets, the prefiguring, and things that happened in the life of Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jonah, you name it. So many things pointed to the coming of the Messiah. And Jesus now is connecting for the apostles, again, what seems really obvious to us now, but it wasn't clear. They were in the upper room. They had not yet seen Jesus resurrected from the dead. The last time they saw him, he was hanging on a cross. He was bleeding to death. He was humiliated. He was crushed. And most of them went and hid out of fear for their own lives. So the question is, they're meeting in the upper room. They're waiting there in this room, wondering, what happened? Will we see Jesus again? Do we fully understand what he taught us? They were confused. They were unclear. So Jesus appears to them, and then he speaks what is of most importance for them to understand. And this is the same thing he wants us to hear in this Easter season. We want to celebrate the joy of the season, but let's make sure that we understand the message that Jesus is communicating to us through the apostles and through his teaching that he wants us to internalize and to be able to pass on to live our own life, but then to pass on to others that same message. So Jesus is connecting his death on the cross with what was proclaimed, was foretold by the prophets, the psalmists, and the lives of some of the patriarchs. So verse 45, he goes on to say, it says, "Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures." He opened their minds. It's interesting. They read the scripture. They had spent 3 years with Jesus. He was preparing them for this very moment. But they needed his help. They needed Jesus to open up the truth, the full revelation of what God had intended in his word and how it was pointing to him, to Jesus. Jesus is the full revelation of God's word. Friends, we can't understand the scripture without God's help. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit that that word that is God-breathed, the Bible, the scripture, is given to us. It's God's word. It's backed by God's divine authority. And it's the same Holy Spirit that inspired the writers is the same Holy Spirit that's living in this word. And it's the Spirit that's alive in you. It's the mission of the Holy Spirit to reveal to every human heart and mind who Jesus is. The Holy Spirit, as Jesus will do in our lives, as it says here that he did for the apostles, he opened their minds to understand the scripture. And he wants in this season, as he does throughout the year in the church's preaching of the gospel, it's the Holy Spirit who helps us understand the preaching of the church and the tradition that's been passed on, the teaching in the life of Jesus that the apostles imitated and passed on to others. So here's what Jesus said. Here's how he opened their minds. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. So Jesus is suffering his passion, his death on a cross, the resurrection which followed. All of it is God's plan. His death was not a mistake. It was not plan B. Jesus came to die. He came to deal with the death problem and the sin problem. He came to be a sacrifice for sin. It wasn't a mistake. It's for that reason that he came. And the prophets and the psalmists predicted it. They foretold it. And so Jesus is tying his experience of dying on a cross, of suffering and dying, directly to the revelation of the Old Testament. Verse 47. Let me read the whole sentence together. It's a little easier to understand. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations. Here is the fundamental mission of the church. Here's the nugget, the core. Jesus is saying all these things happened for a purpose. My death on a cross, my suffering and the offering of my life to the Father was to put away sin and to make it possible for human beings who are born into sin and as a result are under the reign of sin and death and have no hope in the world. God has given us his beloved Son as a way to deal with the sin problem and the death problem in each one of our lives. Jesus died on a cross, he said, so that repentance is possible. That is, turning away from sin and turning toward God. And that forgiveness of sins could be preached. So what is the church called to preach? That Jesus Christ died for our sins. And because he died for us, it's possible for us to have our sins forgiven. That the debt of sin will not be held against us. That we can escape the just judgment of sin against us. We can escape condemnation and eternal separation from God. And we can enter into the life that Jesus has given us. We can follow him on the way that he has made now. From this dying world, from this existence dominated by sin and death, and he leads us now to the way of life. And we'll hear Peter preach that. So Jesus is making sure that they don't miss the central point of what he's come to do and the mission that he's now sending them on and commissioning them into. So that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations. This is crucial to understand. Peter will say, we'll touch on it tomorrow, maybe the day after, that there's no other name under heaven and earth by which a human being can be saved. It's only Jesus. And that's because forgiveness of sins, which is essential for salvation, to put us in right relationship with God, comes through one person. It comes through Jesus Christ, who was a sacrifice for our sin, who paid my debt in yours on a cross. And he put away sin and sin's power, and he made a way now for forgiveness to come to every human heart. So this is the message. Christ has died, Christ has risen. Why did that happen? So that human beings can be put in right relationship with God by having their sins forgiven. And Jesus said, this must be preached. So the mission of the church is to preach. It's to live the message and to proclaim the message. There's a kind of resistance in the church to preaching this message outside the church building itself, sometimes even within the church. It's more and more difficult, it seems, for priests even to confidently preach about sin and the forgiveness of sin. That somehow it's too negative of a message, and there's a kind of therapeutic approach to preaching the gospel on Sundays. What can our people handle? What are our people going to like? Remember, the central purpose of the ministry of the church is to preach this freedom that comes with the forgiveness of sins. The freedom that the church brings, all that good news of sharing in the freedom of the sons and daughters of God, it's preceded by acknowledging the sin-sick condition of every human heart and the mercy that God is extending to forgive us and to bring us out of that state, but it requires a response. It requires a yes, a full yes of our heart, soul, and mind to the Lord, and to say, Lord, you indeed understand me right to the core. You're my hope and you're my salvation. That message has to be preached again and again, and people have to be given an opportunity to respond. And it's not good to presume that it already exists in people, because people are essentially born into the Catholic Church, baptized as infants, and there's a kind of inertia, and it's easy for people to miss the central truth that they too have to respond to this message, and so it has to be preached clearly. And Jesus is also clear. It is a message that it's preached in his name. Remember, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus. Jesus is the only one who can give forgiveness to us, and he's the final judge. He's the one who the end of human history is in the hands of the Master, Jesus himself. And this message is meant to go to all nations, not just to baptized Catholics, but to the whole world needs this very important message. And so Jesus goes on. He goes, this preaching must begin in Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things. You saw me. You heard my message. You lived with me. You walked with me. You saw me walk in my passion. You saw me crucified on a cross. You saw me die. And now I stand before you risen and alive, and I declare to you everything I've spoken to you is true. You are my witnesses now. I send you to witness to my teaching, to my life, to who I am. Verse 49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. They saw it, they understood now, but Jesus says, wait, because I'm going to give you the promise. And I don't have time to talk about that today. I'm going to pick it up tomorrow, why that's so crucial. But fundamentally, the kingdom of God goes forward in the lives of believers and followers of Jesus who are clothed with the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the Holy Spirit. Friends, that's the heart of Christianity, and that's what you've been baptized into. Let's welcome it and walk in it. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.